Well, good morning, everyone. I'm a second-year PhD student in the entomology department at NC State. And I'll be talking about development of rapid resistance monitoring bioassay for codling moth. Cydia pomonella, or codling moth, is the most important apple pest due to its direct damage to the apple fruit and high crop value. Economic injury levels are practically zero. Chemical control has been the main control method used to reduce pest population. So it's not surprisingly that codling moth has evolved resistance to a variety of insecticide classes, from the old DDT, carbamates, organophosphates, to the more recent neonicotinoids and insect growth regulators. And codling moth resistant populations can be found in almost every apple growing region around the world. Resistance monitoring is essential integrated pest management programs. Baseline data and reliable bioassays are essential key components in such programs. Currently, we have good reliable bioassays, such as the larvae exposed to treated artificial diet and topical application to diapausing larvae. However, both of these methods are very time demanding and they may take months to complete. For example, to collect diapausing larvae, we have to place cardboards around tree trunks. As the larvae is looking for the soil to diapause, it finds the cardboard and diapause there. So we go back to the field, collect the cardboards, bring back to the lab, and we have to keep the cardboards in cooler conditions for 3 months. So this bioassay then can be performed 3 months later. Also, it's very hard to collect codling moth in the field. As I mentioned before, economic injury levels are almost zero, so the population numbers in field conditions is almost zero as well. Furthermore, they are very difficult to establish in the lab. So we have to collect them in the field and may have to wait four generations to have enough individuals to perform these bioassays. Therefore, a rapid bioassay that provides apple growers with resistant status information in a rapid manner is vital. The objectives of my research are to develop a rapid bioassay for codling moth resistant monitoring and develop baseline data for different insecticides for codling moth populations in North Carolina. We evaluated 4 different colonies, 2 that we consider to be susceptible, a lab colony that has been maintained in the lab for more than 80 generations, and one that we call abandoned colony that we collect from 2 abandoned orchards that have been abandoned for more than 8 years, 2 that we consider to be resistant, Holt and Owensby, because they have known history of methoxyphenoside control failure. We use novel 16-well bioassay plasticware that I'm showing here in the bottom, and I'll talk more about this bioassay in the next slide. We tested neonates in Fort Inster. We kept the plates at 25 degrees Celsius, 50% relative humidity, and 16:8 light-dark cycle. We evaluated recorded mortality 4 days later, and we used product analysis to analyze the data using Paulo PC. So here are the plates in more detail. In each of the wells here, we have a lyophilized codling moth diet that we freeze-dried for 24 hours, so we remove all the water content. Next day, we rehydrated this diet with insecticidal solution. It takes about 1 hour to rehydrate the meal pad. We use 5 to 7 different insecticidal concentrations and water as a control. Once the meal pad is rehydrated, so then we can transfer either a neonate or a forced instar larvae, one per well. So we close with the lid, and as I said, then we evaluate mortality 4 days later. So here the result for the methoxyphenoside for the lab colony. We have the neonate and forced instar here. So as you can see, both curves are very close. 95% confidence intervals do overlap throughout the both curves, so there is no significant difference. And that's very important because we may be able to establish a single diagnostic dose regardless of larval age. The other susceptible colony, you can see that response was also very similar. For the two resistant colonies, Holt first in yellow, the response, the curves were much more shallower, and they were this colony was more tolerant to methoxyfenazide. And again, it is important to mention that neonate and fourth insta response was very similar. So again, we may be able to establish a single diagnostic dose regardless of larval age. And fourth insta always be in blue, so very similar response to the Holt colony. Based on this preliminary data, we have a provisional diagnostic dose of close to 10 micrograms per ml, which is LC95 for the susceptible colonies, and would probably generate less than 30% mortality for the resistant colonies. Then we decided to evaluate if there is a similar response for other insecticides used for codling moth. Here is spinetoram. So as you can see, the curves overlap, so very similar response. For rynaxypyr, the curves do not overlap, but again, the 95% confidence intervals do overlap, so there is no significant difference. So again, for these two insecticides, we may be able to establish single diagnostic dose regardless of larval age. However, for acetamiprid, neonicotinoid, there was a significant response for between the fourth insert and neonate. There was a 26-fold difference between the LC50 for the neonate and fourth insert. So in conclusion, this novel and rapid bioassay can be used to monitor codling moth resistance to insecticides. For the majority of insecticides tested, there is no need of larval age synchronization, so this can greatly accelerate and simplify resistance monitoring. And however, for some insecticides, such as acetamiprid, multiple diagnostic doses may be necessary. So we may have to have a diagnostic dose for each insert, which will complicate a little bit resistance monitoring for this insecticide. Future directions. First, we want to replicate the results we have. As I mentioned, it's very hard to obtain enough insects for the bioassays. For some of the curves I presented here, we had only two replicates. We would like to have at least one more. We want to evaluate at least one more susceptible population so we can have a more robust diagnostic dose. This summer, we hope we can validate the bioassay with larvae extracted directly from infested apples. So we are going back to the orchards, the abandoned orchards, and the two resistant orchards, collect those larvae, and then evaluate if our diagnostic dose is valid. And then later, we want to establish diagnostic dose for other major insecticides used to control codling moth. With that, I would like to thank my funding sources, NIH, for the fellowship provided, USDA and the North Carolina Agriculture Research Service for the funds for this research. I would like to thank Monica and Nicole. They helped me. They helped us a lot with rearing the colonies and also performing some of the bioassays. Steve and summer assistant helped us to collect the populations in the field. With that, I'm happy to answer any question you may have. Thank you. So the question was if the larvae, they eat all the diet in the wells. For the fourth instar, yes. Usually they do. In the mid of the third day, they consume all the diet. For the neonates, no. We have 200 microliters of diet per well. The neonates, they don't consume all the diet in 4 days. And Dr. Rowe? Right. So the question is how stable is the meal after we lyophilize. So once the meal pads are dry, we can store for a very long time because so there is no water, so we can just leave them on the shelf and it has a years of shelf life. Also, we put them in the second sachets, so to prevent rehydration from regular humidity. So you can have on the shelf for a long time and before you hydrate it. So, another question, Dr. Rowe? So the question was if we can add the insecticide to the diet and store ahead of time. Depending on the insecticide, if you add the insecticide to the diet before you lyophilize, yes, you can. So then you can just, if the insecticide would not be destabilized during the process, then you can dehydrate and just add water before you run the bioassays, as it's possible. Thank you.